Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful we can come here together and just worship you and just come and to encourage one another and God to set our focus upon you and just thank you for your goodness. And I pray that you just really meet with us this morning and open our eyes to see your truth and that God you just stir in our hearts. And I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak only words of the Spirit and each heart would be able open to receive. So we give this to you this morning, and we thank you for your presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Everybody notice the title? The title up there? Only one way. You know, who in the world could say something like that? It's Jesus. Jesus said it. So let's look at John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. And it says this, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I know I say this at other times, but I really mean it this time. This is a verse that should go in your refrigerator, right? Type it out and put it on your refrigerator. And every single believer should memorize this verse. Just memorize. Not each short. You should memorize. You ought to have this one before you have all others. And so it's really important. It speaks so much of what Jesus said. It answers so many questions, you know. It's like we always, you know, talk about these people. You get in arguments and you talk about this and that and discuss whatever. And if you were having a discussion with Jesus, this is what he'd tell you. And you go, oh, okay, what else? All right, so this is what he would tell you. This is where Jesus would speak to you, and he's actually speaking this to his disciples. Now, so what he's saying here, so when you look at this, let me just read it again. I'm going to read it. Say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through me. Did any of your religious views just change? I mean, just think about it, what Jesus said there. Now, what Jesus is saying is Jesus is the way to God because his death on the cross gave sinful man the way to God. Amen? Jesus is the way because he gave a way for sinful man to God. He went to the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. He died in our place. He was a substitute for us, however you want to say it, and paid the penalty for our sins, so nothing is held before us, and therefore we can stand holy before God because of what Jesus did. He is the way. He is the way. So that's that. And then he says, Jesus is the truth because he brought the truth of God to the world. As all of you know, I look at too much television and get way too irritated. So, you know, I could cut out one and be less irritated. But anyway, I get sucked into all those things. And you have these people, and you just see this, and, you know, I could mention names, which I won't. They said, well, we're looking for the truth. Okay? We're examining everything to find the truth of God. And we're looking, because we're in the truth of life. And we're exploring these things. And so that's a common. That's a common. And Jesus goes, I'm the truth. Yeah, I'm the truth. You know, he goes, Jesus is the truth because he brought the truth of God to the world. He's the answer, okay? The truth is Jesus. And everything, and he encompasses all of the truth, and therefore he can answer all our questions by understanding him, because he is the truth. And it sure takes, you know, you don't have to spend so much time looking everywhere and finding it. I mean, they have college courses and things, you know, we'll find the truth of God, we're going to explore this. And that's me. I am the truth. And also, it, you know, there's a little piece of it. Like if you skip over Jesus, you can't find the truth. See, you can't find it. So he's telling us, I am the way. Man made a way for man to get to God. I am the way. I paid the penalty for your sins. I am the way for you to get to God. I am the truth of everything you need to understand. Truth. You hear people say, my truth and your truth. Jesus goes, no. It's just my truth. It's just my truth. That's it. And then the times you stand before the Lord, you go, it was my truth. It was my truth. See, so he's telling us up front. He's telling us up front. And he lived it out as a person on this earth. And then he goes on to say that he's the life. Now you think, well, that's interesting. He goes, I'm the life. He is the life. Well, what he's saying here, Jesus is the life because of through his life and his resurrection, he overcame death and gave us life. What is life? How do we achieve life? How do we get out of death? Besides Jesus, anybody have a clue what that would be? You know, I believe that everybody I ever known has died. You know? And at my age, me and Linda are kind of like shaking in our boots. My God, there's a lot of people around us dying our age. You know, it's like, Lordy be, you know? And so you have this thing. So you can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. I don't care what your belief, you can't get out of it. After you see these people, well, we're going to freeze until they find a cure for our thing and they're going to bring us back. No, you're just going to stay froze. It's just it. You know. And even find a cure, you're going to stay froze. You know. So it's all these things people grasp on. Jesus, no, I'm the life. And again, he's the life, and we look at it because he encompasses life, the life of God. He's the incarnate God. So it's God. But then also his resurrection. See, so it's his resurrection. He came back to life like that, in which his disciples are going, you got to be kidding me. He goes, no, come here, look, I'm alive. I'm alive. He tells them. He had a little hard time convincing them. You know why? Because they saw him die. He goes, gosh, you know. He goes, no, I am the life. My resurrection proves I overcame death. And through me, you will overcome death. See? So he's the life. He is the life. So he kind of encompasses everything right here. And so then he adds this. He's not only the way, the truth, and the life. He added, no one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody. Nobody comes to God except through me. Well, there are many ways. No. You know, everybody has their own truth. Everybody has their own way. You know, and again, you think about it, you know, you're going to come to that. There are many ways, and you're going to come through death. You're going to go, ooh, I messed up on that one. Uh-oh, there are not many ways. There's just one. And Bible doesn't show that there's any repentance after death. And I don't mean to pick on anybody. I have good brothers and sisters, Catholics, love them, you know. But a lot of them believe in purgatory. And what purgatory is, you go through suffering and then you can repent and come out of it. Yeah. Ain't, no. And if you ever get to purgatory, I just want you to know, you ain't getting out. Okay, I mean, you're not getting out of it. See, but you think, well, you know, there has to be another way. Well, there's not. And where we get is Jesus says it. Now, somebody else could say this, you know, I'm the only way through the Father. And you wait a while, you know. I know one cult in particular, and the guy came and he is a self-proclaimed Christ. And he has still has a following. And he died. And he wasn't resurrected. He's just dead. All right? I don't know. It just seems that would just kind of undercut my religion if the guy I was following died. Wouldn't it? You? It's like, I don't know where he was. Now, Jesus died, but he arose. He talked to as many as 500 people at one time. He arose. And the whole group of him ascend into heaven. You know, it's like, ooh, wow. Okay? He's the life. And he says, I bring you life. You believe on me. I'm the way. I paid the penalty for your sins. I'm the truth of God. And I am the life because I resurrected and I give it to you. And how many great minds are saying, well, what else you do? But there's many ways. You know, we had, I've actually told you this before, but it was so interesting. I love doing Alpha. If you haven't taken Alpha, you should. I personally like it a lot. And one of the sections in there actually covers this verse right here. Well, I had this one Alpha. It was here at this church, and it's been several years ago, but we had two young ladies in the Alpha course. Now, she would brag on it herself. She had a Hindu background, and she was really into their culture and stuff. She loved us. She said, we have wonderful people. Of course. I mean, why not? You know. And so she had a lot of fun here. And so I suggested, and she liked Christianity, and so I suggested she take Alpha. There was another lady here, and she wasn't churched at all. But again, she thought, y'all were so nice. You know, it's amazing. She didn't say I was nice, but she said y'all were nice. All right? And so she was interested, and she liked the things about Jesus, and so she is interested, but she didn't have any background. So I suggested she take Alpha. She take Alpha. And she said, okay. So we got both of them. And this one Hindu, and if you know about Hindus, they love Christianity, and they add it to their list. Many gods plus Jesus. You know, so they're good with that. They don't lose anything. They just add Jesus to it. And this other young lady, she just didn't know. So we're coming and we're talking to her. And the thing about Alpha, you let people discuss and process. You're not just banging people trying to teach them. And so it came to this verse or this section and said, what do you think? What do you think about that? And the Hindu lady said, bless her heart, she said, I believe that. I believe that Jesus fits with my whole belief system, and is he's one of the gods that I should embrace. One of the gods. And she was just, you know, that's what it is. The other lady, who didn't have any Christian background, she goes, wasn't a believer. She goes, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look what she's talking to this Hindu lady. Look here. Look what it says here. It says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You're wrong. You know, I'm just sitting there. Oh, well, this is going to be a good conversation. You know? And she says, well, but you got to have. And then the lady goes, no. This is what it said. And then she gets her Bible, turns it over, shoves it in her, says, read it. You know? And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there like saying, I'm going, go, girl. I'm thinking, go girl, oh man, you know. Now, very pleasant meeting and everything. And she loved y'all deeply, but she never came back to church after that meeting. You know, she didn't love you that much. She didn't come back. And the other girl, to this day, I think, is walking with the Lord. But you see what I'm saying? This is a make or break verse. This is a make or break verse right here. You can't have all this plus Jesus, and you can have only Jesus, and then through Jesus you have all answers. Well, I want all answers without Jesus. Knock yourself out. You're not going to get there from here, because all the answers is within Jesus, and he's trying to tell us. Have you ever heard somebody, well, God, why don't you just tell me? He's probably going, I have, I have, I have. Read this verse. I told you. Why won't somebody else to tell me besides you? See, why else don't you believe this verse? Okay, so you see where I'm coming from. See where Jesus is coming from, this whole thing. So you look at this and say, my goodness. So no one else can bring people to God. No one else embodies the total truth of God. And no one else has defeated death. Jesus did all that. He did it all. He did it all. Now, this means that no one can claim to know God and reject Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe in God. You know, I guess you could claim you know God, but you don't know God. Because Jesus says, no, you can't get there from here. You have to come to me to understand the truth to get to God. You can't get to God any other way. Jesus said it. So he's little exclusive. Open to everybody, but there's a truth, the truth. There's the absolute truth. Now, in the New Testament, the early believers vehemently believed this. The New Testament believers passionately held to the truth that there was only one God, and the only way to God was Jesus. They held. That's what the church basic from day one believed. In Acts 4:12, it says this: "There is salvation in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It's clear. It's clear. With Jesus, you're in. With Jesus, without Jesus, you're out. Because there's no way. No way. It's not like he's keeping you out, but there's no way for you to get there to him because you rejected him. So he's laying all this out. Now, so Jesus is the true foundation for the meaning of life. Jesus is the Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life, actually claims to be the answer for all our human problems. All right? He claims this. He claims the answer. And I think about that some, and I think everybody here should vote. We're democracy, and we vote for the best candidate. And I will, you know, but I know down deep, it's like, they can't get us out of this mess. No one gets out of this mess. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, you know. And if they'll pay attention to Jesus, you know, help get out of this mess. But even if they have maybe the same values as I have or something, they still can't get us out of this mess if they don't look to Jesus and look for him as the answer. You can't get there from here. You know, I have these solid views and stuff, but, you know, I'm not into all this religious stuff. And I don't think you should be into religious stuff, but you ought to be into Jesus. Because Jesus has the answers, and Jesus will show us where we to go. And it's like, when Jesus comes back, in his wisdom, he's going to come back and save America. You know? He's going to come back, and he's going to save, let's pick another country, France. They need saving bad. France. No, you know what he's going to do? You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to come back and he's going to take the church. He's going to take the church. And what about everybody else? He said, what about? I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So I'm coming for my folks. And they're the church. They're the church. See? And so, so it's good to understand how God sees the world by understanding how he sees the world. It tells you how he sees us, how he looks at us, you know. And so it's really incredible. And so when I have whatever problems I have, Jesus goes, if you come to me, I'll show you the way through and what you need to do. Now, God uses good people. Like if I'm sick, I go to a doctor. I don't care if they love Jesus or not. I'm going to a good doctor. Somebody loves Jesus, not a good doctor. Somebody doesn't love Jesus and is a good doctor. I'm going to the guy who doesn't love Jesus and is a good doctor. Okay? Because, I mean, so there's certain things you learn. God has, you know, teaches people all sorts of things. But as far as the truth of how God moves in the world and solving our things that are going on within our life and everything, Jesus will come alongside and bring us through all those difficulties. Why would he come to me and help me through my difficulties? He goes, Wallace, because I'm the way, and you can't get to me without me, and I'm the truth, and I can give you what you need to know, and I am the life, and I can give you life, okay? Now, come on, Wallace, by name. See, that's how he works. And he's telling us all this stuff right here. Now, so this means, and how many of you are sitting here? Well, I know I have this problem. He ain't done nothing yet. You know, go ahead. You don't want to say it. I've done that. I go, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you even know what's going on? You know, and I try to quickly repent of that attitude, you know. But it has crossed my mind a few times, you know. Have you ever thought you could help him out a little bit? You know, if you just do this, it really works smooth. You know, it really works. Anytime I've ever said that, I promise you, to this day, it's never happened. You know, it's, no. I'm doing what I'm doing for a reason, all right? Pay attention to me and what I'm doing. And I have, you know, like I said, it's old as Linda and I are getting now, I have a whole list of things that I try to work out on my own. Meaning I have a whole list of failures. And I have a whole list of things where I actually, for some unknown reason, kind of depended on God and just let him work through the impossible thing. And it worked out. And I'm still to this day, like I look and I say, God, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how that worked out. I mean, you did it, and I don't know how you did it, but it worked out, you know. And so he's trying to tell us all this up front, but the truth is found in him, who he is. Now, so your human problems. Now, again, I want to say your human problems. Any of you say, well, not I know this one problem. Okay. You know what you're asking for. All right, God said, okay, I'll teach you. Because he says, I love you so much. I love you so much. I will teach you and I will discipline you because I love you. Just like a father disciplines his son. You know. Now, my father, when, you know, they were 2024, back in like the 1950s, you know, that meant, you know, my father bust my butt. I get a whooping. You know, I know y'all into talking them out of everything. All right. I tell you what, you get a whooping, you pay attention. And I respect my father to this day. There's certain things he told me, and I'm starting today. Oh my God, he'll see this, he'll rise up and whoop me. You know, so I mean, it's in me. You know, it worked. A good whooping can, in Jesus' name, help you. You know what the Bible says? Says if you don't discipline your son, you don't love him. And it goes, I love this verse. And if you whoop him, he doesn't say whoop him, it says spank him, or, you know, kind of take the rod to him. I love this verse. As you take the rod to your son, he goes, he won't die. Don't you love it? No, nobody likes that one. I mean, I remember just getting, wham, wham, I thought I was going to die. He goes, my dad would go, he didn't know anything about the Bible. You know, you won't die. You know, I'm going to let you die. But you see what I'm saying? So the whole point is, when you look at this, God is the answer to our problems. And the world tells you to stop disciplining your kids. How's that working for you? How's that working for you? I'll break their little spirit. I hope so. Oh, my God. You all with me? So anyway, he's the truth. And, of course, my good father never hit me except on the fleshy part of my butt. And there's no scars on it at all. But that works. But it worked. Now, so here we are. And this means when we fully embrace Christ and take our eyes off the world, and take our eyes off the world, we stand invincible no matter what the world throws at us. We stand invincible. You know, when I was, looking at the message that the Lord really laid on my heart to use the word invincible here. And I changed it. Then I felt guilty and changed it back again and still struggled with it this morning. This means when we fully embrace Christ and take our eyes off the world, we stand invincible no matter what the world throws at us. Because I'm thinking, okay, I know when I say we stand invincible, everybody's going to say, yeah, but no, not quite invincible. But when you read the Bible and what it says as a whole, he tells us we're invincible. He just tells it. And it's like, okay, well, Lord, how do you get your arms around all of this? See, and one of the things I came up with as I was thinking about it, how to present it to you, how to take it on myself, this word invincible, and being totally convinced of it myself, but how you do explain it. So I was struggling with it, and the first thing the Lord showed me, he says, first of all, it's you and what you do and how you stand. So it's just God talking to me. The only thing you focus on who's invincible is yourself. And you think you're invincible, and you grasp hold of being invincible because you trust Jesus yourself. But what about them? I didn't talk about them. I talked about you. But what about them? He said, I didn't talk about them. I talked about you. It's you. You're invincible before me. And then it dawned on me, he's talking to each one of you. Each one of you. That you, by yourself, are invincible to God. Now, if you think you're not invincible, it's because you're thinking about somebody else. Well, that happened to so and so. God goes, I had a hold of that. You let me have that. You couldn't have done anything about it anyway. You couldn't. What are you doing? Mind your own business. Take care of what you take care of. Let me take care of what I. But God, I don't understand what you did. You just let it happen. Wallace, and let nothing just happen. All right? You know, Wallace, you got a problem with me, don't you? You have a problem with me trying to figure out the world. No, you focus on me, and you're invincible. And wherever you go is where I'll take you, and whatever it is I take you through, you'll be invincible till you get through the other end if you focus on me. What if somebody just knocks me in the head and shoots me between the eyes? He goes, you did just what I want you to, and now you're with me, invincible. See, that's how he works. Our problem is we got to figure out what everybody else is doing. Well, I just say this, how fun. But my kids, you know, they'll make you feel not invincible. He's like, oh, dear God. You know, I love all your kids. You're like, love them. See, but even with your kids, to deal with your kids, you look at God, I'm going to do what you say. This is happening. I mean, so-and-so, I just love little Johnny. Just Johnny just came and told me he's doing donuts in the middle of the football field in our car and tore it up. God, what are you doing? He did that. You didn't do that. What are you doing? You need to say what you're invincible because your responsibilities. Now, once you stand that, maybe you should have disciplined little Johnny like I told you to before, but anyway, you can pay the piper now. You know, I don't understand it. Anyway, you see what I'm saying? You see, but the first thing is not your kids, it's you. And you want your kids to come to a point where they can stand on their own and say, it's me. It's not mom. It's not dad. It's not brother. It's me. And me and Jesus are invincible. Y'all with me? That's the way God works. That's the way he works. And that's the reason we can't figure things out. Because we want to do his job. If I could feed the world, you know, God, would you feed the world? You can't even take care of yourself. Before me, be invincible. See? And then I'll get somebody else to feed the world. You need to be, am I making sense? You see what I'm saying? But that's how God works, you know. We get upset because we don't like what God did. Did he do it to us? No, he did it to somebody beside us. It wasn't fair. That's not fair, God. I'm bad at you. It's not fair. What did I do to you? Nothing. You've really been done real good to me, but I don't like what you did to them. Drives me nuts. I drive myself nuts. Do the same thing. You see what I'm saying? And God is trying to tell us this, and that's the reason I'm stuck on this word. You're invincible. We are invincible. Difficult problems will come our way. Difficult problems will come our way. But Christ stands with us and walks with us through those difficulties. It's so clear in the Bible it hurts. That's what he does. Now, I want you to look at this overhead. Notice the lighthouse. Okay? That's Jesus. That lighthouse is Jesus. And that storm is our problems. Look at that. That's your life. That is your life. You're going, why did this happen to me for? You know, what? I mean, this is what the world is doing. It's coming at you like this. We all won't think we're going down Destin, Florida, feet propped up, and see that beautiful even sea. You can see your feet as you walk out through it, you know. That's the Christian life. No, it's not. No, it's not. That is the Christian life. I'm telling you, it is right there. I don't even have to tell you. If it's not, if it hasn't been, it's going to be. I hope it has been, because if it hadn't been yet, oh, you're in for, oh, you're poop out of luck. I mean, it's coming. It's coming. That's the truth. That's life. That is life. But what's true about it for a Christian is that lighthouse, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And that's real clear. Now, when you look at that, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Thinking about your neighbor? Oh, he's out there in an inner tube. What are we going to do? No. Jesus said, I'll take care of that idiot in the inner tube. You stand with me. Do you see what I'm saying? You know? When this all comes out, what's standing there? The lighthouse. The lighthouse. And Jesus says, focus on me, and you are invincible. But, okay, there's no but to it. But that's happened. But did you see those waves? You know how bad those waves are? Picture you in that picture without the lighthouse. That's your but. That's your but. But Jesus, your but Jesus, is in that storm without the lighthouse. And God's telling us that. He's telling us what's happening, and he's showing us what's going on here. So, as Christians, difficulties will rise up, okay? But Jesus is our lighthouse in the storm. He's our lighthouse in the storm. This picture is accurate. See, we don't live our Christian... I actually thought this in a way. Our Christian life is not a house by a calm lake. This house... Don't I just thought... Did you get... Come to Jesus' house by a calm lake? No. That's not the Christian life. That is the Christian life. I'm telling you. It's happened to you already, or it's coming to happen to you. But we're in the lighthouse. We're in the lighthouse. And Jesus is telling us, I'm the lighthouse. You're the lighthouse. I'm the lighthouse. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the lighthouse. He's telling us. And the storm is coming. And those storms come. And we stand with Christ in our storm, and He will protect us and bring us out on the other side. And we must embrace Him. Look at the storm. And we must embrace Him and not jump into the storm with our own little lifeboat. Y'all with me? I got a lifeboat. Get out of this mess. Anytime you say that, anytime. Even if you say, I see a little, you know, it's kind of like being in the eye of the hurricane. Okay, we can just go out and paddle around now. See, this is the mess, and our solutions are our little lifeboat. You with me? It's our little lifeboat. And so what we take our little lifeboat, and we just jump off the edge, and we wonder, what happened? What happened? And Jesus goes, I'm the way, the truth, and life. What are you doing with your lifeboat? You know, we see somebody out there in inner tube. And excuse me, I shouldn't say God said He'd take care of the idiot, but I think that's what He thinks sometimes. We see something, lifeboat, and we see, well, they're out there drowning in their inner tube, so I'll take my lifeboat and I will just paddle out to help them. Don't you do that. You're going to help these folks. You're going to help because you're so godly. You're going to help. You got your love. What happens? Both of you are up the creek without a paddle. Both of you. Not only you mess their life up, you mess your life up. Because you won't stand with Jesus or stay where the lighthouse is. That's what this verse means. This is what He's trying to tell us. Now, remember, Jesus knows He's going to the cross. This is all pre-cross stuff. He knows He's going to the cross. So He said, listen, it's me, nothing else. Now, so we all had a lot of fun with this. Hallelujah. Okay. This is what happens. It's like, oh, Wallace, you're saying that. No, this what happens is just helping us to understand what's happening. And it's helping us to understand how we get through it. It's an illustration, if we will. Now, we persevere with Christ. Now, here's something else in this. We persevere with Christ, but also our confidence comes by embracing the fact that we have a more glorious future than this present physical world. That helps us to stay in the lighthouse because we have a glorious future than what's around us. Jesus protects us now, but also He will return and take us to heaven. You see how this picture's getting bigger? And why you need to be right with Him, invincible, because He's going to come back and take you to heaven. Well, I don't want to go unless you take Peter over there. He said, fine, I'll take Peter and leave you. Why would he take you when you don't want to go? Except with Peter. He wants you. Not Peter. He wants you. Now, Peter, what is he doing? He's over here, and he's telling Peter, you're invincible. And he's not saying anything about John because he didn't like him anyway. He said, okay, I'm invincible. Because our focus is on Christ. Therefore, it affects how we live our life. We're not putting out little silly lifeboats in storms like that. That, you know what that means? We're not doing stupid things for Jesus. Right? Jesus. So He's telling us all of this. Jesus protects us now, and He's coming back for us. His picture is so much bigger than ours. Now, I mean that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Now I want us to look at the context That verse is all by itself, and we're having a lot of fun. I think y'all are having fun with it. I'm having fun with it. It's all by itself. Verse 6. What's the context? Look at verses 1 through 3. There's a context. I mean, that verse stands alone. You go, whoa, me and Jesus, we're in. But look at the context. The context in which Jesus puts this verse. Have an overhead for you. Look at John 14, verse 1 and 2. Jesus, look at the picture. Look at the picture. Look at the storm. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. You're in that storm. He goes, let not your hearts be troubled. You're going, Jesus, get out of here, man. This ain't bad. But don't let your hearts be troubled. Well, what do we do? What do we do? Believe in God. Believe also in me. But God, you don't know how bad this is. You don't know. No, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what I'm doing. But what about, no, what I'm doing with you. What about you? I'm talking to you. See? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, out of nowhere, in my Father's house are many rooms. Now, I like what the King James says. In my house are many mansions. That's what the King James says. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you? I am the truth, by the way. Would I have told you that I go to prepare place for you? We're in that mess, and he goes, no, just believe in me, believe in God, believe in me, and I've gone to prepare a place for you. Prepare a place for you. As we stand with Jesus, the lighthouse in our storm, Jesus tells us not to let our hearts be troubled. Where are you right now? Where have you been? Okay, Jesus, tell me something. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what he's telling you. That's what he's telling you. And we look at our storm and say, that can't be possible. That can't be possible. There ain't no calmness in this thing, okay? There's nothing troubled. How can you not be troubled? Hey, don't let your heart be troubled. Look at this. God, do you even see what's going on? Lord, I got a couple ideas. Really could turn this thing around. You know, he goes, no. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You don't want my help? I said, believe in God. No, I don't want your help. I don't want your help. Believe also in me. And God, there's not any human reason we should be confident. And that's the key. You know how why we really think we're in trouble? Because we know we're in trouble. Like, there ain't no solution. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. All right? And so God really has to bring a big storm to get us in trouble so we know we're in trouble and we can't do nothing. You know? Because if we can do something, we'll do it. I mean, we're helping Jesus out like crazy our whole life, you know. We're Jesus' biggest helpers, you know, just giving him advice all the time. Until we get to something, oh my God, I don't even know what to do. Linda and I were talking about something just the other night, and she told me, says, you know, I don't even know how to pray for this. I don't even know what to say. See? And it's like, and you know what God's going, what God's doing? Good. Oh, my God, that's wonderful. Finally, I have your attention. He said that. I didn't say that, darling. Said, finally, I have your attention. See, I don't know what to do. I can't, but I don't know how to pray what you would do in the thing. So we have this picture of what the Lord laying out, and we don't see any reason. We don't see how it can work. It's impossible. We don't see how it can work out in this storm. And so what? Jesus is saying, just stand there with me in the storm. Stand there. unhitch that, your lifeboat, and let it wash away. And just stand with me. Stand with me in this storm. And that's what he's telling us to do. Now, the thing we have to know is that Jesus has his hands wrapped around us and will ultimately bring us through our difficult situation. Ultimately, and he'll bring us through it. And he's going to bring us through it. And sometimes we see something's open up. We say, my gosh, how could that unfold like that? All of a sudden it just opened up. There's closed doors, and all of a sudden the doors just open. How did that happen? It doesn't make any sense. Or sometimes something will happen. They take you down the road, and you end up on the other side. You don't know how you got there. You don't know how you got there. Somebody else did something you don't even know that helped them open the door and go, how'd that happen? That can't happen. That can't happen. Can't happen. I was reading this morning about the Israelites, and they're complaining. They have manna, and they got tired of manna. They wanted meat. They just want meat, you know. And so they come into Moses, and they want meat. And I love what Moses said. Moses goes, God, you gave me all these people. That's what he said. You gave me all these people. They want meat. I ain't getting meat. He says, you couldn't. He basically said, there's no way in the world you could ever bring this much meat for these people. And he says, you have your 600,000 adults here. It's impossible to do that. He told God, it's impossible. And I love this version. It's a little hour. And God says, is my arm too short to save? You kind of think God's being a little catty there, you know. You know, he could have been more sensitive, theological in depth, to explain what he's doing. He just goes, is my arm too short to save? And I guess not. Anyway, so he does. He brings all these quail. And I never saw this before. And he brought these quail. I mean, where'd he get all these quail at? They're in the middle of the desert. He brings quail, okay? And it said, surrounding their location, a day's journey each way was covered in quail. And then I just and then God says, you'll eat quail until they come out your nostrils. You want it, you got it. You see what I'm saying? And so anyway, God has a little sense of humor, a little kind of that. Now, okay, so back to here. Got a little sidetracked. So the King James says that Jesus is going to prepare us mansions. Rooms. I like mansions. His rooms. He's going to prepare us mansions. And now remember, we're bellyaching about our storm. Okay. And he said, believe in me. And he said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. And so that, and says, it literally means, the word literally means dwelling places. And so one's translation says rooms, the other one says mansions, but it literally means dwelling places. So Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to the Father and prepare you a dwelling place. Now, this promise applies to every individual believer. Okay, you with me? This is how this is conned. Hey, we're into 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, we're into verse 1, too. Believe in me, and I'm going to prepare you a mansion. I'm going back to find, prepare you a mansion. So he tells his disciples and he tells us that he's returning to God to prepare a mansion for us. That's what he said, for us. Now, if Jesus is preparing a place for us, you know it has to be like at least a 5-star hotel. Wouldn't you think it'd be at least 5-star? I mean, if Jesus is preparing it, you would think it's going to be pretty nice. Now, we had, as you may know, Linda, wonderful gift to hospitality. I mean, incredible gift to hospitality. And over the years, we've had a lot of ministry leaders and stuff come by our house and stay at, you know, a night or a couple of days. And they all say that, you know, they can't believe how nice it is, how they're treated, how well treated they are. And one guy literally said, I'll never forget, he said, you know, got up this morning, and I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Now, so I believe that Jesus can prepare a better place than Linda can. I think it's going to be better than what Linda prepared. I like what you're doing, but I bet it's better than that. So this is what Jesus, he's going to go prepare a place for us, you know. So it's going to be a nice place. And not only that, not only does Jesus prepare a place for us, he comes and escorts us to our new dwelling place. He's I'm coming back for you. I'm preparing a place. I'm coming back for you, and I'm going to take you to this place. That's what he says. We're believing on verse 6, but we need to believe on verse 1 and 2. They're all connected. There's one conversation here. See, and it says here in John 14:3, we have an overhead here, John 14:3. Again, third verse, we're not going off someplace, third verse. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I'm going to ask you something. Are we invincible? Are we invincible? Hey, I'm preparing to play. I am going to come back and take you with me. You with me. You know, and you know, you look at this. Jesus doesn't prepare a place for us out in the middle of nowhere. You know, Jesus prepares a place for us next door to his place. You ever think about that? We're next door to his place. I'm taking you, you know. I'm putting you next town over, but, you know, I'll bring you up there. No, we're in his place. We're right next door to his place. Jesus does this because he wants to be near us. That's why. You know, when they showed that picture of the lighthouse, you know, I said, just stay near me. Just stay near me. I got this. I got this. But God, no, I got this. Now, we wrap here. Brothers and sisters, we should be excited about going to be with Jesus. We should. I mean, we really should. I mean, it really looks good. I saw this cartoon, and it's funny, these two older ladies, my age probably, I don't know, they're walking on clouds in heaven, and they're talking, and the one looks over to the other one and says, man, if I'd known it was this nice, I wouldn't have ate all that bran all my life. Any of you trying to have a good diet to live longer, you just let it go, you know. Anyway, so we should be excited about going to be with Jesus. The Apostle Paul had a peek into heaven. He got a peek into heaven. He tells us about it. And this is what he had to say about it. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, Paul says, you know, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Shucks. See, he had a peek. He said, oh man, I can't wait. You know, I can't wait. See, but God's got me something. I got to stay here with y'all. And so I'm going to stay here with y'all. Jesus said, let your hearts not be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. He said it. Blanket. It's a blanket statement. Blanket statement. Let not your hearts be troubled. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to use that word again. Now, I didn't read this in the Bible and said, but I'm just what I was impressed on. So you're invincible. We're invincible. But what? No, I can't go there. You're invincible. Each one of you. And as you see yourself invincible and walk in being invincible, not trying to throw your, you know, little dinghy out into the storm and save somebody, you're invincible. The Lord will direct you and carry you through that storm. And he will do exactly what he wants to do. There's a place in Psalms that talks about the storm that comes through and says, when a great storm comes through, and it says you get into a place and take cover, and he goes, when you come out after the storm, The psalm says, all the debris is blown away. Why the storm? I didn't do anything. All the debris has been blown away. See? That's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling us here. The fact that Jesus is giving us special attention and is preparing a place for us should really be encouraging. Now, I've taken a few pastoral liberties to describe heaven, all right, and I think you can discern that. However, by all accounts, heaven is indescribable. Indescribable. It's, you know, they give metaphorical pictures, but it's indescribable. Paul basically said that. You couldn't even talk about it. Look at John also wrote the book of Revelation, and there he stretches our imagination to the limit of telling what he saw, heaven. This is his words. And in, listen to this, in Revelations 21, 22, verse 23, now he's explaining what he sees in heaven. Now on earth he had a temple, you could go worship God in the temple, and had lights, had all this stuff, you know. So he summarizes heaven this way. He goes, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. That's where we live. That's where we're going to live. He takes us and he has a place prepared for us, and that's what it is. And if we don't need sun, he just, God's the light. But we're living with him. You know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father about me. In that storm, I'll take you through it. You, glory awaits you. And I'm doing something special. You're not by yourself. Stay next to me. The lighthouse will never move. I'll never move. Heaven is surely beyond comprehension. However, the path to heaven is crystal clear. Clear. No metaphors needed or anything. There's no reason to miss it. It is crystal clear. The way to heaven is verse 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, we're invincible. Know that. Know that for yourself. Know that for yourself. And as you walk in it, God will use it to outflow to others. But let him do that. You have to be convinced of yourself. It'll change your thinking and change the way you approach things. Let's pray here and just rejoice in Jesus. You know, it comes back to that first word. The Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Well, this is why. This is why he's saying that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your, we thank you that you love us more than we ever could imagine, that you died for us. You paid a penalty for our sins. We are totally 100% forgiven. Believe on me. He said, believe on me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I will give you eternal life. You'll live eternally with me in heaven, in my presence, in my presence. Lord, and whatever problems you're going through right now, whatever difficulties you're going through right now, just set your eyes upon Jesus. Stay next to him and watch him take you through that storm as he desires. And once you get through that storm, he has taught you much about himself, and that storm will blow away all the debris that's been hanging and holding you back your whole life. Dear Jesus, we thank you for that. And God, you clearly say in Hebrews, says he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Just remember, he is the way, the truth, the life. God, we give thanks to you. We praise your holy name in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody go memorize John 4:6. Okay.